morning. It is good to be here. I get the privilege of being able to come and preach. Brian is up at retreat with all of the guys. I got to go up on Friday and spend a little bit of time with them and go shooting, which was all kinds of fun. And we got muddy, and I got to drive my truck, my new truck, through all the dirt roads back there, and I was just like, it earned its man card or something. I don't know. Our text this morning is Luke chapter 5. While you turn there, I just want to share a story. Parenting a four-year-old is awesome. Because I get to experience all the little epiphanies that she has. And she had one this week. If you are on Facebook and you're friends with me, you probably saw it. But we were driving to my grandparents' house, and she's sitting in the back seat with my brother, Austin, who she calls Ray Ray. So they're sitting in the back seat, and I can just kind of hear her talking. She had a little breakfast bar that she was eating. And the comment she made was, I am going to have to wash my face after I eat this. And she knew she was going to get the little, you know, stuff at the side of her mouth. And my brother, being this, you know, rational adult that he is, was like, well, maybe if you were just more careful the way you ate it, you wouldn't have to wash your face afterwards. In my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, right, bro. Like, there's no way. And there's a pause in the back seat. And Zoe goes, huh, good thinking, Ray Ray. She's like, that thought had never occurred to her. She's just like, oh, if I'm careful, I only have to wash my face. That makes sense. But life is full of those epiphanies, right? Those little moments where the light bulb finally goes on and we get it. I remember having one when I was in high school. I was in a math class, algebra, and I just did not get it. And I know there's math people in here that are like, algebra is just awesome. It's these problems and you get to solve them. You're wrong. It's not awesome. It's not fun. It's not problems that fit and work together at the end. It's problems that get worse as you go. And here's my proof. Here's my proof for why it's not, it doesn't, they had to invent imaginary numbers because it didn't all work together in the end. Okay? Yeah. All my non-math people out there, thank you. So I'm in this algebra class, and I'm a senior in high school, and I'm taking algebra as a senior, even though I only needed 3 math courses, because you can figure out why I'm taking it my senior year. I'm struggling through math. She's helping me. She's trying to, and so she explains the problem one last time, and she's like, all right, I'm gonna go through this one more time. And this is after we've been working on it for a long time, and I'm just like, I'm sure she could see it in my face. I'm like, I give up. I don't care. Like, I don't want to know what X is. I'm done. And so she's like, I'm going to explain it one more time, and she goes through and explains it. And as she's explaining it, I have this epiphany. The light bulb goes on in my head, and my eyes lighten up, and I can tell she's starting to get excited. She's like, sweet, he's getting it. He's getting it. So she gets to the end. She's like, so do you understand? And I was like, it's so clear to me now. So clear. And she's like, awesome, well, explain it back to me so I know that you got it. And I was like, okay, it's just, I've never been more clear on anything. I need to become a pastor and go to Bible school so I never have to take another algebra class again. It's so clear to me. So clear. In Luke chapter 5, we're going to look at an epiphany that Peter has. And it's not one of the little epiphanies. It's an epic epiphany. And so we're going to look at it real quick. I'm going to read from 5:1 through 11, and then we're going to go back and kind of dive in. So it says in chapter 5:1, it says, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him, it's talking about Jesus, to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw 2 boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. And so getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from land, and he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered him, Master, we worked all night and took nothing, but I, at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. So they signaled to their partners on the other boat to come and help them, and they came and they filled both the boats
so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid, for now, from now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. So we have here a story of Simon, also known as Peter, having one of these epiphany moments. And when this happens in the Bible, we have this really cool, fascinating, awesome Bible word that you guys can all remember and impress your friends with later. Rather than calling it an epiphany, we call it a theophany. Right? It's Theo, it's God. It's like this epiphany where we realize who God is and what he is. Right? So we have several of these theophanies in the Bible. One in Isaiah, where Isaiah says, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips." He realizes he's in the presence of God. We have several others where people just like fall down and they realize they're in the presence of God. They kind of lose it a little bit and it freaks them out. And I think as people, we all have theophanies at points in our life where God comes in and interacts with us in a special way and we're just kind of blown away with it. We have this awakening, this moment where we realize what's going on. And so I want to go in and kind of look at Peter's theophany. And look at how it affects him, because he kind of goes through some stages that I think a lot of us go through. So to start out, Jesus comes and he's preaching to the crowd. He's preaching next to this lake of the Gennesaret, and he sees these two boats, and people are kind of crowding him, trying to hear. And he sees the boat, and he's like, "All right, if I get in the boat and I get offshore a little bit, they can't keep crowding me." Plus, there's kind of this cool effect. If you go into a boat, water works as like a megaphone. And so he gets in the boat and gets Peter to take him out just a little ways so that people can hear him better and so he can have a little breathing room, right? As a pastor or speaker, anytime you're preaching or teaching and people are too close, it feels weird. That's why we build stages, right? So we can stay away from you guys a little bit. Gives us a little bit of room so we can move, right? Frees us up. Right, and so Jesus gets a little bit of space. He starts preaching to these people and teaching them. And when he gets done, he turns to Simon and says, "Okay, put out a little bit deeper and throw your nets out. We're going to go catch some fish." And what I want you guys to notice is Simon's initial response, because it's usually our initial response. When Jesus tells us to do something, we're like, "Really, God? Really?" Because Simon's like, "Master, we worked all night. We didn't catch anything. We've fished. We've been there. We've done that. We bought the t-shirt. That's over. Like, that didn't happen." But I love what Peter does, right? He says, "Master, we toiled all night and we took nothing, but at your word, I'll go let down the nets." So Peter has this initial moment of like, "Really, God? Like, that's what you need me to do? I mean, all right, I'll be obedient." And at this point, he calls him master. And I think that's important because later he calls him something completely different. He starts off with master. What was probably going on is Jesus had disciples that kind of followed him. But they weren't apostles yet. They weren't the 12 disciples yet. He just had this group of people that kind of followed him around. And it seems like Peter's probably one of those people because he addresses him as master. He knows, he's like, "Hey, teacher, master, like, I'm learning from you." Right? And so I'm going to do what you say. I think you're a little bit off your rocker. I mean, you're the rabbi, you're smart, but I'm a fisherman, and there's no fish out there. We were out there all night. Or he says, "Well, I'm going to do what you say." Okay, so he humbly obeys. Verse 6, "And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking, so they signaled to their partners on the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he has a theophany. He realizes this isn't just some rabbi. This isn't just some teacher, philosopher guy. This was a miracle. Peter knew there were no fish there. He'd been there all night. There's no fish. And I go out because master tells me to throw my nets down and I catch more fish than we can handle as two boats. This is real." He has that moment in his life where he understands and he gets, hey, I'm not just following some awesome teacher. I'm not just following some philosophy guy. I'm not just following some random carpenter. Like, this guy is the real thing. I've had moments like that in my life where all of a sudden I go, oh, I'm not just going to church because I've done that my whole life. This is the real deal. When Christ impacts your soul, makes you see him in a new way. And I want you to look at Peter's response, because I think this is so counter to the way we think as Western Christians. Peter's initial response, and many of the responses of people that go through theophanies in Scripture, is immediate and complete and total realization of how much they do not measure up. So let's read it. In verse 7, they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Isaiah has a similar response. He says, "Away from me, God, for I am a man of unclean lips." It's almost as if, like, hey, take a step back. I don't want to get my dirty on you. But it's a realization of God is so awesome and so powerful. And here Peter is saying Jesus is so incredible. He's like, I'm not worthy to be here right now. Right? You see other disciples say the same type of things. They're like, I'm not even worthy to, like, strap up your sandals, dude. Like, they've got that realization. They see this is real. I think for a lot of theophanies that I see with, like, kids in our youth group or with people that I've come into contact with in the church, the theophany tends to be, wow, God is awesome and he loves me so much because I must be awesome too. And I think there's just a slight difference here. Right? I think there's a humility that comes from Peter that says, I'm not even worthy to be here. And Jesus gets that. And his response to Peter is beautiful. Verse 9, he says, he and all who were with him, talking about the other disciples, were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you'll be catching men." When we come into contact with Jesus, it's terrifying. It's scary. When he asks us to do something, even the mundane little, hey, go throw your net out over there. Try that out. Sometimes it's like, man, that? Really? Children's ministry? Really? You want me to go clean toys in the nursery? Really? You want me to pass out bulletins? Really? You want me to run sound? Really? And we have these, like, he asked us to do something simple, right? Like Peter throwing his nets out, he did that in his sleep. He'd been doing it all night, right? That was just, okay, we go do that. That's simple. That's normal, right? Put donuts in the, really? That's what you want me to do? I mean, all right, I guess. I don't know what kind of impact that's going to make on the kingdom, but, you know. And then you come in, you look at church, and you see all the little stuff getting done, and you see the impact that it makes on the kingdom, right? And so I think this is a beautiful example of that, right? Peter is faithful in the little. He says, all right, Master, I don't understand why you think it's super important for me to go throw a ball with one of the toddlers in the nursery, but, I mean, you want me to do it, so I'm going to go do it. And we get these little opportunities to talk about Jesus with these toddlers. They grow up and somebody else comes in and they read a book to them when they're 3 or 4. Somebody else comes in and they do a Bible study with them when they're in junior high. And somebody else comes in and does a simple little mission trip with them when they're in high school. You know, and 10, 15, 20 years later, they're, you know, on a mission field changing the world. Catching tons of fish. Right? I think there's a couple things that we can learn from this passage, and especially from Peter. The first thing that I want to talk about is we got to be faithful in the little stuff, right? Even when we're like, God, is that really like, I mean, I know we need some people to like go to oversee missions. And God's like, I need you to stay here and go to your job and witness to the secretary. And we're like, really, the secretary? Like, that's, and God's like, yeah, the secretary. She needs Jesus too, right? And we start to think like, really, God, that's all you want me to do? You just want me to go, I mean, I've been fishing all night. You want me to throw the net over there? I mean, all right. And he knows, right? And so Peter's initial response, I think, is important for us. He calls Jesus master. This master is kind of like a lot of the time used in that time as like teacher, leader. It was kind of a glorified sir. Yes, sir. I'll go do that. I think it's a lousy idea, but I'll go do it. Right? It's just kind of this yes, sir. What's amazing to me is later, Peter doesn't use master. He says, depart from me, I am a sinful man, Lord. Right? And so what's amazing is that Jesus has designed this whole theophany to kind of take you from this kind of, I mean, okay, obedience. I don't know. I don't understand why, but I'll obey to this. I get it now. You are the Lord. You're way more than just a little, just a teacher in Galilee. You are Lord over my life. And so we have to be faithful in the little things. The next thing that I want to point out is that when Peter has that moment with God, he's overwhelmed by his own lack of awesomeness, I guess is how I'll call it. And I think we get that a lot, right? We come into contact with God. Maybe we're at a conference and we hear a speaker speak, or we hear some great worship, or in a Bible study, that like epiphany moment comes and we're just like, wow, like there's no way I could help someone have that epiphany. The speaker on stage was just phenomenal. The band was amazing. Like, I'm not that. I couldn't help people have a theophany. Peter was fishing. I don't know if you've ever hung out with fishermen, but, and nothing against fishermen. I love fishing. But you hang out around worms and dead fish all day, tend to be kind of stinky, right? Peter was probably not very well educated. I mean, you know, basic education. He wasn't a Pharisee. He wasn't a pastor. He wasn't a teacher. Peter was a fisherman by trade. That's what he did. Right? He tied hooks to string, and he threw them in the water. He tied nets together, threw them in the water. That's what Peter did. That's who he was. And then he became the first pope. Right? Like, then he became the apostle to the Gentiles. Like, he became the one of the biggest apostles ever. Him and Paul are like right there. He became this amazing fisher of men. And he started throwing nets. Because he was faithful throwing nets. And so I want you to think this morning, what's your net? What's the thing that God is asking you to be faithful in? And maybe you don't have one. And maybe that's because you've been ignoring him for a while. And he's saying, hey, go throw your net over there. Go get involved in children's ministry. Go get involved in women's ministry. Go, you know, I don't know if you guys know, we have these beautiful flowers here. Somebody does that. That's their net. And we could think, really? You want me to put flowers in front of the pastor when he speaks? But that's part of it, right? That's part of what happens when we obey God. People come into this awesome, beautiful building and they're like, wow, this is cool. And that's their first interaction with Jesus. It's the flowers. Seems simple. Seems like a net. I've been fishing all night. I put flowers up in my house all night. You really want me to go put flowers at church? And Jesus says, yes, please. Right? So what's your net? What is that little thing that you need to be doing that you're not? And let's do it. You don't have to be a classically trained theologian. You don't have to be some spectacular speaker or missionary to do God's work. Peter was a fisherman. And in fact, most of Jesus' disciples were fishermen. They were fishermen. They were tax consultants. Right? There's one doctor. Right? But most of them were just, you know, your average Joe, normal people. And Jesus says, you know what? I'm going to pick 13 of you average Joe, ordinary people, and we're going to change the whole stinking earth from here to eternity. Let's go rock this. Right? And Jesus is saying that to us today. Hey, I know you think you're just average ordinary. I know you've had this theophany, you've had this experience with me, and you've understood, wow, that's who Jesus is. And your initial reaction is, wow, I'm not good enough to get on board with that. I don't know how he's going to use me. Right? Moses had the same thing. I'm not a very good speaker. I don't know how you're going to use me, God. Right? We've all got the excuse. I'm not great with kids. I'm not, you know, there's better people that could teach the kids. There's better this that could, you know, run sound. There's better this that could, I'm not so much. And we start to get this anxiety. And I love Jesus' response because he says, hey, Peter, I'm not asking you to reinvent the wheel. I want you to keep fishing. We're just going to fish for something different. Right? I know for me, one of my theophany moments, I remember being fairly young. My mom says I was 8 years old, which I think she's being a little bit generous to me. But I remember being very young and coming to my mom like, I'm going into ministry. Like 8 years old, 9 years old, something like that. It's like, I'm going into ministry. I just know that's what God wants me to do. I didn't know where it was going to be. But in junior high, high school, it started to become more clear. Like, youth ministry is where God needs me. And that scared me to death. Because I remember sitting and listening to my youth pastor. I'm like, he's so smart. None of my kids think that about me. but I remember thinking my youth pastor was smart. And I remember thinking, wow, I'm never going to be able to, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to do that. I remember like getting my first job and walking in and they're like, hey, this is your new youth pastor, Andrew. You guys have fun. And they walked out. And I was like, and I just started teaching. And some of it was probably not very good. But what I loved was having relationships with people. I love sitting down and having coffee with people. I love talking to my friends. All of my friends through high school, we'd just go to some random restaurant and we'd sit and we'd just talk for hours. I loved talking to people. And so when God called me into professional ministry, he's like, hey, I just want you to just go talk to people. Just stand on the stage instead of sitting in a coffee shop. Right? He's not asking us to reinvent the wheel. He says, hey, use the gifts that you already have, that you already love. Just do them for me instead of for yourself. And so think this morning, what are the things that God has given you? He understands and he knows that getting called by him is a terrifying experience. And the first thing that he says to Peter after Peter realizes what's going on, he says, Peter, don't be afraid. You don't have to fear. You don't have to be terrified. I'm going to take you the whole way through. I'm going to help you through this. And what happens immediately after is that Peter and James and John, they all are like, all right, dude, let's go be fishers of men. They're pumped up. They're ready to go. And so for all of us this morning, I want you to think about that simple little thing that God's asking you to do. Maybe it's helping Elaine do bulletins. I have no idea what it is. That simple little thing that you're good at, that you enjoy, whatever it is, and get involved. Look at where would that fit in church. And if you don't know, come talk to somebody. We got all kinds of places that we can plug you in. And not just like, hey, we're going to make you babysit kids for the rest of your life until you die. Right? Like, that's not what it is. It's, hey, come use your gift. Come use your gift. That's what church is. It's a place where people can use their gifts for God. So find that little gift. Take a second to get over the fear. because it's real. I know it's there. But know that God has not asked you to reinvent the wheel. He's not asking you to do something that you're not able to do. He's got it under control. And just like Peter, your theophany, your coming into contact, realizing, God, you are real, you are awesome, and I'm not worthy. He says, I know you're not, but I am. And when you're connected to me, we do awesome stuff together. The little epiphanies lead to amazing character. The little epiphanies in life lead to more well-rounded adults. The little epiphanies lead to wisdom and they lead to knowledge. But I'm going to tell you something. The big epiphanies, those epic theophanies, they lead to world change. They lead to community growth. They lead to amazing things done for the kingdom of God. And it starts with washing toys in the nursery. It starts with coming to mow the grass or paint a room or whatever. All the little stuff leads to the bigger. And when we're faithful with small things, God rewards us with boats about to sink full of fish. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you for this amazing, amazing section of Scripture where you give Peter just this amazing glimpse at who you are. And God, I pray that you would continue to put those epic epiphanies into our life so that we would see you fresh and again over and over, to be reminded that when we're faithful in the little things, you heap blessings on us. And so God, if there's someone here today that's thinking about, how could I get involved? Like, what's my net? What is my little step of obedience? I pray that you would just stir in them and give them guidance and direction. Give them the courage to overcome the initial fear and to make that step to say, hey, this is what I do. Where can I get involved? Thank you, and I praise you. In your name we pray. Amen.